Next week, a judge in Buffalo will decide whether or not to release on bail six men charged with providing material support to al-Qaeda. The charges are based on a 1996 anti-terrorism law, but some U.S. legal experts are questioning whether that law actually applies here. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
The Justice Department admits it has no evidence that the alleged al-Qaeda sleeper cell was planning any attack. Rather, the criminal complaint accuses the men only of traveling to an al-Qaeda camp in Afghanistan.
And so the government's argument is that by attending a training camp for a couple of weeks, you become the personnel of the entity that provides the training.
Civil liberties attorney David Cole says that is a stretch. And during the bail hearing, the judge in Buffalo himself seemed to suggest the same. He questioned whether the six men had actually provided support to al-Qaeda or received it. What's more, at least some of the men claim they didn't know they'd end up among al-Qaeda, and once there, they felt trapped in the isolated and heavily guarded camp. One man says he faked an injury in order to leave. Analyst Cole says all this raises questions about the men's intent, something the government will have to prove if any ruling against the men is to stand.
Because the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the First Amendment and the Fifth Amendment require showings of personal guilt, that you can't be held responsible for the sins of others because of your connection to a group unless it is shown that you specifically intended to further the illegal ends of the group. And there's no allegation here that these individuals intended to further any illegal ends, indeed that they had much intent at all.
Cole and others say the Justice Department's position recalls the days of McCarthyism. Then the government repeatedly tried to criminalize membership in the Communist Party, and the courts repeatedly struck down the argument, citing freedom of association. But former Justice Department official Bob Litt says that analogy is a false one.
The problem with McCarthyism was that they were going after people simply for their beliefs. And the fact was that mere membership in the Communist Party didn't really tell you anything about whether a person was committed to the violent overthrow of the United States government. I just don't think that al-Qaeda can be compared to that, particularly if a person is going out to a quasi-military training camp.
Litt notes the men from upstate New York are accused of being trained on assault rifles and heavy artillery. Still, there's another potential stumbling block for the government. 2 years ago, a federal appeals court in California struck down part of the 1996 anti-terrorism statute. It ruled the law does not clearly define what constitutes material support to terrorism, specifically what constitutes personnel and training, the very clauses the government apparently will rely on now. That ruling does not bind the judges in New York, though it may influence them. Finally, the 1996 anti-terrorism law was written to address an entirely different problem. Material support was meant as financially aiding a terror group, and so far there's no evidence these defendants did that.
Admittedly, it's not the easiest fit.
Michael O'Neill knows. He wrote the 1996 anti-terrorism law. He was with the Senate Judiciary Committee at the time. The legislation was a rush job, he says, pushed through after the Oklahoma City bombing. The targets were groups like Hamas or the IRA. He says no one back then envisioned a scenario like today's. But O'Neill maintains the government's case does, as he puts it, pass the laugh test. He says the law is written broadly enough that one can claim taking part in a training camp does further the aims of al-Qaeda.
And in fact, I think it's incumbent upon the government in these peculiar sorts of situations to, within, you know, the confines of the statute, to press its case, to present evidence before a judge, ultimately to present evidence before a jury, to see whether or not the judicial branch buys the argument.
If the courts do not accept the government's argument, O'Neill believes it may then be incumbent on Congress to step in. He envisions a new law that would explicitly make it a crime to train at terror camps like al-Qaeda's. Even civil liberties lawyer David Cole says he'd have no problem with that. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.